Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
Welcome to Talk is Jericho, the pot of thunder and rock and roll, and the public home of the Duff McKagan joke of the week.
Chris Jericho, Duff McKagan, leaving you a voice text here. Hope everybody's doing good. Hey, listen, my friend's four-year-old son has been taking Spanish for a year, and he still can't say please yet. I think that's poor for four. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
I don't know if I really understood that one. Let me think. I think that's poor for four. Yeah, that one has to be explained to me. So, but that kid might need to be hooked up with Babbel. I'm brushing up on my Spanish with Babbel. Might help out the kid and Duff as well. At least Duff has his day job, and he's working hard with Guns N' Roses. They're headed to Mexico to do some shows this weekend, and then New Zealand and Australia after that. Fozzy's headed to Australia later this year as well. We're also gearing up to head back to the UK after my throat injury is healed. We start in Manchester on November 4th, Birmingham, Nottingham, Dublin, Belfast, Swansea, Bournemouth, Bristol, Glasgow and London, and we're doing our legendary VIP meet and greets. There's still tickets left. Go to FozzyRock.com, the best meet and greet in the business. We play a mini set for you. We take pictures, sign autographs, so come hang with us. And if you aren't in the UK, then come see Fozzy and Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea, the Four Leaf Clover. Still a few cabins left, and you are not going to want to miss this lineup. Brad Williams is our director of laughs. Kate Quigley, Raj Sharma, and Jeff Dye will be doing comedy sets. Music by Quiet Riot, Royal Bliss, Raven, the all-female Kiss cover band Priss, the Dave Spivak Project, my 80s Kiss tribute band Quarantine, and like I said, Fozzy also playing the cruise. Talk is Jericho, the Major Figure Wrestling Pod, the Paranormal 60 with Dave Schrader, AEW is going to be on the ship, and of course we're crowning the inaugural Chris Jericho, Jericho Cruise Oceanic Champion. We got Moose versus Dante Martin on one side of the bracket, Matt Cardona versus the world-famous Cheeseburger on the other, and then the winner of the tournament faces Flip Gordon to find out who is the very first Jericho Cruise Oceanic Champion. We also got our own private island for the first time ever, Great Stirrup K. Book your cabin now at ChrisJerichoCruise.com. All right, she got one of the biggest pops in AEW history at Grand Slam recently. It was the perfect place to pull off a surprise debut. And you know who I'm talking about, Saraya. She's back. She's at AEW. She's on Talk is Jericho to explain exactly how it all happened. It had been nearly 5 years since she stepped in a wrestling ring. And she's talking about that in-ring bump she took that forced her into early retirement back in 2017. WWE kept her around, had her doing some cool things, but then that stopped as well. We'll get into what happened with WWE and what she was doing while sitting at home during that time. She's also talking about the movie about her life fighting with my family, The Rock's involvement with that, what it was like for Saraya and her family. She shares what it was like growing up in a wrestling family and starting her career as a teenager. She got stories about the WWE locker room, her favorite people to work with, her gimmick as Paige, where she got the name, who she's looking forward to getting in the ring with at AEW, because yes, she is planning to wrestle again. So here we go. Saraya is on Talk is Jericho. So one of the biggest surprises at Grand Slam that nobody saw coming was the return of Saraya. That's Ray. When they say Ryan, like, it's Ray.
I know.
Ray Charles, you know, Ray Parker Jr., yeah. Saraya.
Yeah, well, I've had this problem ever since I came over to America because the Ray part, they always pronounce Rye.
Right.
So I have to always tell them, like, no, it's not how you say it. But now fans are getting used to it. They were getting mad for me. I was like, oh, it's fine.
But you know what was really cool about that, and what we'll get into, is that people right out of the gate, as soon as they saw Saraya come up on the screen in New York, knew it was you. Because I don't know if a lot of people know that's your real name.
The past couple of weeks before AEW, I started changing my name to Saraya, so a lot of wrestling fans started to get to know that. Yeah. And then I was on Twitch for like a couple of years too under Saraya, and then my TikTok and everything's under Saraya, so I feel like people are starting to get to know me. And then whoever was a fan of Ronnie to me coming out to his music, they were like, no one else is going to come out to his music, right? So, yeah, I feel like it was weird, and I was happy that they recognized the name, but...
How was that for you? Because obviously it was, you know, 14,000 people there, mm-hmm. and, you know, we'll tell the story, but we worked really hard to get you there for that moment, because it was the perfect place to debut.
Yeah, so because people ask all the time, they're like, so how did that come about and stuff like that? And I was like, you know what? It's a mixture between Jericho and Mox. And they were like calling me about it. And they were just, I was like, that was so awesome. And they said, you're just going to be happy. And, you know, because it was like a mixture. I was like, what do I do? Do I do WWE or do I go to AEW? And I was just like, I just feel like I'm at the stage in my life where I've done so much with WWE and I'm thankful for that. But AEW is just this company where there's just so much behind the scenes that people don't see. And I just feel like there's like this camaraderie, if that's the right word. Mm-hmm. And it is so relaxed back there too. But I was just really excited to try something so new. And then like with a division that's completely new too.
Right.
As much as I love the girls, like I just saw Charlotte like just literally minutes before I got here. And I was like, oh, I miss you ladies, but I'm so excited to be in such a fresh... You know,
it's division. The same reason why I came to AEW when we first started 3 years ago, because it was I knew where I stood in WWE and I knew kind of where it would shake out. But to come here, you could literally make a difference and almost really make history.
Yeah.
Is that kind of the mindset that you had as well?
Yeah, exactly. And when I spoke to, again, you and Mox and Britt, actually, and they were just like, you know, this division is a wonderful division, but like we can make it even more special. And so coming in, like maybe we can shake things up and change things and maybe just start, you know, rebranding it and making it even just bigger. And I was like, oh, I'd love to be a part of that 1000%, because I felt like I was a helping hand in the WWE one. So I was like, you know what? Like, I would love to be able to do that over in AEW too.
Were you worried standing backstage prior to going out in New York City? Like, are they going to remember me? Obviously,
yes,
they would.
Oh my God, dude. No, because I was just like, oh, I'm a nobody, because I haven't been in the wrestling ring in years. And like, I hadn't wrestled in years, but I hadn't been in the wrestling ring actually just doing a promo. So my promo last week, I was not happy with. I feel like I shit the bed a little bit, but I was so consumed with nerves because I haven't been in the ring in so long and in front of wrestling fans. So everyone was happy the first week. And then they realized like I was actually here and I was staying here and they just turned against me. There was a lot. And I was like, what is happening? I feel like I'm just like dodging bullets from all these like crazy fans, but at the same time I'm like, it's online, it's not real.
It's very tribal too, that then you'll find that there is people that are, if you're not WWE, you're shit, if you're not AEW, you're shit. So that's instantly, just by crossing the line and coming to the other team,
yeah,
then suddenly that's a problem, right?
Well, they call us traitors and stuff like that, but I'm like, well, they didn't renew my contract, I don't know what to tell you, like, you know what I mean? So it's not as if I just left the company and just walked out. Exactly. Like, we left on good terms and it is what it is. But like, I feel like people should be happy that there's other companies out there that are just as big and getting bigger and stuff. And there's so many different places that all your favorites could potentially go, you know, and build a career. You're not having to just focus on one company anymore.
Right.
And I just feel like that's wonderful. And then they were mad at me because I said, finally, no, I said, a boss that listens to me about like the division, because, you know, Hunter listened to me, you know, he always did. He was always wonderful. That's why I liked working with him at NXT. And he's the one that helped me when I first got to the main roster. But it could get a little frustrating at times being there, as you know. Mm-hmm. You know, you feel like you're throwing ideas and stuff like that and you're seeing what sticks. And then you end up just sitting in catering or you end up sitting at home. And that's the thing that became really frustrating. Whereas, you know, I threw an idea at Tony and straight away he was just like, let's give it a try. Mm. Well, like, you know, they can either like it or hate it, but we'll give it a try, you know, and I really appreciate that. So I said that in a promo, like, all right, a boss that listens to me. Oh, it's the worst thing I ever said. It's like I literally came over to their house and set their family on fire. It was like the worst thing ever. I was like, oh my God, you guys need to chill. It's not that deep.
But that is the difference too, though. Like, there's not, you know, six levels of pitching an idea that has to go through.
Yeah.
This person has to approve and that person has to approve. And listen, this is not cutting down anything. It's just the way that it works there.
Yeah.
And I'm now that Vince is gone, I'm sure it's still the same, but
yeah.
I don't know for sure. But here we don't have that. You're expected to bring ideas.
Yeah.
You know, we need your input creatively and nobody knows you better than you. So it kind of really fits, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was so bizarre. Like when you guys were like, oh, there's no writers. I was like, what? I was like, oh my God, now I have to do my own stuff. Which again, like the first promo I did, I felt like I was just not 100%. And I like wish I could have changed. I look back on my things that I say and I'm like, I wish I would have done this different and that different, but that's just the perfection.
Well, something that I thought about, and I wish I would have talked to you last week beforehand, is that, because I went through it too. It's the first promo without a script.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, there are a million pros to not having scripted promos, but even for me, the first one I ever did in Jacksonville, I remember vividly, we'll be there in a couple of weeks, and I was like, okay, people say you're good at promos. Are you still good? Because it's the first one I've done in 20 years without a script.
Yeah.
And it was a little bit nervous, but it went good. And then you get into the groove.
But you're like you're like so talented in you know, promo and stuff like that. And I told myself, I was like, I wish I went to Jericho on Mox before I even did it, because I let the nerves get the better of me. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, I felt very flustered, and that's on me. And then I kept seeing, Justin, you're so wonderful, Justin Roberts. But I kept seeing him mime stuff to me in the corner. And I'm like, I wish you would stop, because it's distracting me. And he's just trying to help me, of course. But I'm like, I keep looking over there then, and then he's like, oh, championship. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
So he's really throwing you off.
Yeah. I know. So I felt like a little flustered. And it wasn't his fault. He was such an angel. He was just trying to help me out. Mm. And because I felt like, and the crowd was still reacting. Mm. They were still super loud. And I feel like you couldn't hear that as much on TV. But like, they were loud. Like, they were still chanting, like, this is your house and welcome back. And they were so welcoming still and so sweet. It's just the internet, isn't it?
Well, and that's the thing. I was going to say, we spend so much time reading internet, Twitter, reviews, reports. I'm guilty of it too. And we forget, like, you still had over a million people, I believe. If I recall, your rating went up last week during your segment. And 90% of those people probably were just like, Paige is back. Saraya's here. And so we are very perfectionist. And then you read the 10% or the 8% or whatever of people who bury it. And then that's all you remember.
The loudest, dude.
Yes.
They are the loudest. And they will like tweet you hard, like over and over again.
Yeah.
And I always said to myself, I would never read anything the day of and the day after. But I was so excited about, you know, the first week coming in and everyone was being so positive. I was just like, they're not going to be too hard on me. And I was just like, oh, rookie move. I was like, I can't read it. I had to like delete Twitter off my phone, because the AEW fans, they were all like still supportive, and they were just like, hey, we could see this, the rest, and we know it's going to get better. Like, we love you and we welcome you. And then there's some WWE fans. There's some that are very accepting and just want the best for me. But there's some that are just like, you stupid bitch. Yeah, that was terrible. And you're like, calm down. You know,
So what was kind of the journey that led you back? Because like you said, you had some issues. 7 years, you said you weren't in a ring.
Yeah.
And is this all from that match that I saw you got kicked in the back when you weren't looking? Mm-hmm. Is that where the whole injury started, or did you have issues prior to that?
I had issues prior to that. So I had like the surgery beforehand.
Right.
And this is a thing where I wish I took better care of myself, because WWE were excited to have me back, which is awesome. And it was after all that bullshit that I went through, whether it was drugs and like a public relationship at the time, and just, it was a whole mess.
Right.
And so it was, and then the movie came out, but then the videos also came out around that time too. So I was just like, oh man. So I came back after that, and I was excited to be back in the ring again. So I was doing all the live events, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. But the producers at the time were just like, Paige, you should be taking the comeback. And I'm like, do you think I should be taking the comeback? Because I just had this neck surgery. And they were just like, well, you have Mandy and Sonya, and they're too new. And I'm like, well, I feel like this is the perfect time for them to take their bumps and start, you know, getting used to being in the ring and stuff like that. But in the end, I was just like, all right, because I didn't want to, like, you know, I just came back.
So you were working heel in those matches.
I was working heel.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so I was taking all the comebacks and stuff like that. So I was just like, I'll do it, because, you know, I already went through all that public stuff. I'm like, I don't want to push my, you know.
Yeah.
And so I was like, yeah. But I was back for a couple of months, and I did a match with the same group. Bailey, we did it the day before. She kicked me in the back and it was fine. But then just something was just a little bit, and that's all it takes, is someone to be a little tiny bit off. Yeah. And yeah, my neck just freaking snapped back like I was in a car crash. And then I was like paralyzed for like a couple of minutes, which is the most terrifying. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I have brain fart. Terrifying thing. And then I just remember laying there, and I didn't cry, but I knew instantly. I was just like, this is it. Like, I'm done. Like, I'm toast, right? And I look over and I see Sasha, Bailey, and there's Mickey James and everyone. And they were just like crying. I look at Mandy and Sonya, and they were crying. And they were just, I was just like, I was like, but I wasn't crying, which is like the weirdest part. So then they start bringing the stretcher out, and I was like, no, I'm not going to get on that thing. There's no way. So I waited for my feeling to come back, got up, and then went backstage. And Bray was back there too. And he's so sweet. The first thing he did, he just gave me a big hug. And he was like, you okay? You know, and they all rushed into the doctor's office with me. And I got sent to Pittsburgh the next day, checked my neck, and they were just like, there's no way you can wrestle anymore. And I was like, and then I had to keep it secret. But the one thing that I appreciate about Vince is that not all women get to have a goodbye in the ring promo, you know.
Right.
And he let me do that. And it was like a special moment too, because I debuted at New Orleans and then I was going to retire in New Orleans, right? Day after WrestleMania. So I was just like, this is a special moment, but I had to keep it secret for like 6 months, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, so long story short, again, I was hurt beforehand.
But how old were you then? 23, 24?
24, 25. Yeah, I was still young. Yeah.
Done at 24.
Yeah, it's crazy to me. And I'd already been wrestling since I was 13. And now I'm 30. And I'm like, back, I feel like back when I first started, if you were 30 and stuff like that, wasn't a good sign for you.
Yeah.
But to have opportunities these days, you know, where it doesn't matter what age, what you look like, what size you are, like, I think that's really important.
Well, you still look like you're 24, so.
Well, that makes me feel good. Yeah. Just take care of myself.
Exactly the same, yeah.
That's what non-drinking and stuff does for you, though.
Right,
cutting out alcohol and shit.
Are you completely sober now?
Completely sober.
Wow,
yeah. I've been sober from, I mean, drugs a lot longer time. Like, when I first came back to WWE, I had stopped taking drugs. Alcohol, I was still drinking. And then me and Ronnie got together, and he had the idea of completely just cutting out alcohol. So I was like, yeah, I'll do that. And then we just cold turkey, just stopped drinking. And the weight that drops off you, I was just like, look at me, supermodel. Oh, my God. But people think I had a bunch of surgery. I'm like, no, it's just all the weight in my face, dude. They don't realize what sobriety can do for you.
Just when you're watching that, like, even like I lost a lot of weight at the beginning of this year, and a lot of that was I still drank, but I cut down a lot, because you don't even realize, especially during lockdown and pandemic, you're just drinking. It's like, oh, whatever. It's just,
everyone was doing it.
As soon as you like just keep that in mind, it's really easy to stay away from it.
Exactly. And I noticed you had lost weight when I first saw you, when I got into AEW. I said to Renee when you left, I was like, he looks so healthy. He's like, she's like lost a lot of weight. And then she was like, yeah, I think that he chilled from the drinking too, because Renee also chilled from drinking.
And Mox did as well.
Yeah, and she did, like, you know, to be supportive, which is amazing.
Yeah.
But they both look fantastic. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you just end up looking more youthful, I feel like, right? It's like my brother Roy, like, he's 42 and he quit drinking and he's just dropped weight. And I'm just like, you look like you're like 34, 35 instead of in your 40s.
It makes such a big difference.
It really does.
So how was it for you, though, at 23, like you mentioned, or 24, whatever it was, and knowing that your career was done? Was it a hard shock for you?
Awful. The only thing is that I was in a better mindset. Mm. Because if it was a couple of years before, I would have spiraled 100%. But at that point, I was just like, you know what? Like, I can't hit rock bottom again. Like, I can only continue and try and do other things. But then, you know, I got to be GM and I loved it. But then that kind of got cut short as well. And I never really understood why, because it was a great gig and I feel like everyone liked it. I never got anything negative from it. It was just shocking.
How was it told you that it was cut?
So Road Dogg called me the day before I was supposed to fly out. And then he was just like, hey. And Road Dogg's so sweet. He's just like always trying to baby me, you know. And he was just like, so we're probably not going to do the GM anymore. So you won't have to come to work tomorrow. And then he decided that I was going to come and do a goodbye speech of GM, which I thought was really sweet too. So I ended up flying in, doing that first segment of the show, and then flying back. And then I was sitting on my ass for years. And that's the thing.
Still under contract.
Still under contract, doing
nothing.
Absolutely nothing. And I remember contacting them and being like, Mark Carano, just everybody. And then even WWE Studios. And I would contact them and be like, if you want me to do media, I can do that. If you want me to do this, I do that. If you want me to do managerial work, like, you know, like, I think Ronda needed like a mouthpiece at the time. I was like pitching to, like, you know, work on doing that. But I was constantly pitching all these different ideas and just being a manager in general, because, you know, I was doing managerial stuff for a bunch of women. I was like, I can do these things. I'm available. Just let me know. But I end up sitting in my house for like 3 or 4 years. Mm. And that's the most depressing thing, because you just feel like you're completely useless. And then you can't go and do anything else because, you know, you're under a contract where, like, even though you're an independent contractor, you still have to get permission to do stuff. And then it would get turned down, you know, and it used to really just get to me a lot. I never used to be vocal about it until they tried to take my Twitch away. And I was just like, there's absolutely no way you're going to take my Twitch away from me. And I remember Vince's assistant had called me at the time, and he only did one phone call. And he was just like, well, like, you need to give us a percentage of this. Or he was, I was just like, and it wasn't Vince, because if I spoke to Vince, he would have been way more chill about it, I believe. But like, his assistant just had a stick up his ass, dude. Like, he was just, I just
didn't. So and I've never really talked about this. This was during the time, and Adam Cole mentioned it once too, where Vince decided that anybody that was doing Twitch had to give it up or had to give him a percentage of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Under contract to WWE.
Exactly, yeah. Wow. Which I was frustrated because I was just like, no way. I was like, not only did I break my neck for you guys twice in this company, but you're not letting me do anything. Mm-hmm. So I'm not earning this extra money that I would usually get if I was on the road doing media and all that kind of stuff. So I'm like, this is what I'm doing. And it's keeping me sane.
Right. It gives you something to do.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah. It's keeping me so sane. And so in the end, I just said, absolutely not. I was just like, no. I was like, you can get Vince to call me if you want to, but I'm not giving you my Twitch. There's no way. And I continue to do it. And then I did a public Twitch too, because I fucking had just a breakdown. I was just so tired of it. I was just like, no, like, it was just really frustrating. I was like, you're not going to take this shit away from me. You don't realize how important this is for me, you know? And so in the end, they let me keep it, or they just didn't say anything to me anymore. They were probably like, we'll let her wait out a contract and then say goodbye. Yeah. So then when it came time to like actually saying goodbye, I remember texting Johnny and I was just like, hey, like, are we going to renegotiate my contract? Even if not, I need to know because I want to start getting the ball rolling on other things like outside of wrestling. And he was just like, yeah, I'll let you know, and then 6 months goes by and I'm just like, it's coming up. And then he was like, you know what? I'll talk to you when I go to SmackDown. And I was like, there's no room for negotiation when you're talking to, like, you know, to me at a wrestling show.
Right.
So he ended up calling me. He's like, so we're not going to renew it. And I was just like, hey, all good, dude. And I don't have any hard feelings. I just wish my time wasn't wasted. That's the only thing, is just like, I had all these ideas. I could do all these things, like anything you wanted. But Hunter did eventually reach out to me, you know, and he just wanted to talk to me because he was like, I feel like, you know, he thought it was my decision because he wasn't there at
right.
the time.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And he thought it was my decision to leave. And I was like, no, bro, it was Vince and Johnny. But yeah, so we got talking, but then, you know, I started talking to you guys again and I was just like, man, I missed that side of wrestling where you can pitch your own ideas and, you know, you can just have fun. Mm-hmm. And I haven't felt excited about wrestling in a very long time. So just the first day of being here was just like, man, this is awesome. Like, everyone is so nice. Like, everyone is just, it's crazy. It's just crazy, like, you know, just how different it can feel.
Whenever somebody new comes in, they're always waiting for the other shoe to drop. And it never does. Like, it's wrestling, obviously, so there's always going to be ups and downs. But this has been the same for 3 years since I got here. This is what we do. There's no, like, suddenly, like, 3 months from now, it's like, okay, now we got her. Now the real hammer drops. And then you're going to be, like I said, we need your creative input. We need your experience. Because, like, even though you are only 30, you have been wrestling your whole life.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, we don't have writers here. We don't.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, we need that input from you.
Yeah, no, I would love to do more of that stuff. I wish I would get to Tony like more than a day before, though, because they'll start like brainstorming and then I'll get busy and not write to him. And then the day before I had like this idea for today and he was like, oh, the show's already written out, but we can potentially do it next week. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, oh, I'm not going to be here next week.
Yeah.
You know, but he's instantly just like, just tell me a day before the day before. And he was like, we'll get it in there. Whatever you
need. The smart thing to do is come up with like a month. And, you know, October 20th, here's what we have, 27th, whatever. And then you can give that to him and discuss. And then you kind of know where you're at. And it always changes, of course, because the story moves and changes and morphs. But at least if you have a little bit more of a skeleton, then you can know, okay, let's do this. And we'll build to that and build to this. So,
yeah.
And you'll pick that up. Because like I said, when you come here, you're like, really? Like, I'm supposed to do this?
It's so laid back to the point where, you know, you don't have writers. You're not being overly produced either. Mm. So, and then, you know.
Which can be bad at times.
It can be bad. Right. So I felt like a little bit last week, I was like, man, I wish we would produce a little bit more. But again, that's on me because I had you or Mox that I could potentially reach out to. And I know you were a little bit more busier last week.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know you had like a big segment with a bunch of bodies and stuff like that.
So, and a match. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and a match. Yeah, you had all these things. So I was like, but, you know, I do have you guys to lean on if need be. So I'm like, I'm just getting used to it. It's like a whole different dynamic. I'm just like, oh man, this is a.
How is your neck at this point?
It's good. Yeah. I feel really healthy and my neck feels fantastic. And I would definitely want to take it slower this time around. You know, if there was any physicality and stuff like that, I just want to really take care of my body because as much as I want to rush into doing all these different matches, I know what happened the last time.
Right.
So I just want to take it as slow as possible.
Is it just time that healed it, or were you doing different therapies or exercising?
Just time and stuff like that, because even if you do the exercises and whatever, it's not going to mend like the fluid that's around.
The disc?
Yeah.
Is it a herniated disc or whatever?
Yeah. So I have the 6 screws. And then the one thing that happened was just there was just no fluid on where my spinal cord was.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, like that comes back
slow. Right,
you know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
So, and then after a while too, it was all mental for me as well. I'm like, well, do I? Because now I'm scared. Like, what mm-hmm. do I do? You know what I mean? So getting over that hump, and I still have that mental block a little bit. But I feel like if I'm in the ring with the right person, then I'm going to feel way more comfortable. And it reminds me of when I did the match with AJ Lee at SummerSlam. She couldn't take a bump that match either. So we did the whole match with her not taking a bump. So I'm like, I want to be that careful. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I will take a bump, but I'm not trying to be a bump, like bump monkey like I used to be, you know.
But you're smarter too. And that would happen anyways, just from getting older and wiser to the business. When you're younger, everyone always says, you do too much stuff. You're like, what does he know?
Oh, no. Like, Dean Blanco. I love Dean, right? So, but he, I remember I did the Tower of Doom, but instead at the top, I took a German, right? Mm. His face when I came back, he was like, why did you do that? You don't need to do that stuff. And I'm like, whatever, Dean, it was supposed to be in the match, you know, it looks cool. And I'm just like, I wish I didn't do that because it just messes you up. And now I tell people if girls come up to me or guys come up to me about advice when they first get into the business, I was like, you don't have to take as many bumps. I know it's cool at the time and you think the match looked cool. I was like, the thing they're going to remember is your entrance. You want to look good gear wise and then develop a good finish and get a good moveset and you're good to go. But you don't have to like take bump, 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 bump. Because if you're taking all these bumps in like one match, what are you going to do for the next match? And then people forget those things too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
I remember when I was just starting, Nick Bockwinkel, one of the all-time greats, basically said that you do too much and you got to, I was like, remember thinking like, what does Nick Bockwinkel know? And you're like, he's only one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. Yeah. And now I look back like, oh, what an idiot. But that is something that happens over time. You realize more of the psychology, the connection with the audience means so much more.
Yeah.
But, you know, when we started in AEW, there were so many, and there still is so many young guys and girls that still don't quite grasp that.
Yeah.
And then the more they get to work with people like us, more veterans, then they get it.
Yeah,
that's why it's
another
reason why it's great to have you here.
Yeah. And I never want to step on anyone's toes coming in here too. So I never want to be like, hey, maybe you should try and do this. Because this is their locker room at the end of the day. Like, I just came into it, and it's like a new high school for me.
You know what I mean?
It's weird. You, like, come to a new school. You're like, hey, can I come in here? And, like, I never want to step on any toes, but, like, I do want to reach out to some of them, like, if they're going through the matches and be like, you know, unless I just wait for them to come to me, but I feel like I always want to give someone at least some 2 cents. If they want to use it, that's fine. If not,
but that's smart. I think, too, once again, like, you don't want to step on anybody's toes, but I think they would appreciate that.
Yeah.
Because you have that experience. And I always say you can't teach experience.
Yeah, exactly.
You can teach someone how to do a body slam or a backflip or whatever, but you cannot teach experience. So that's, once again, something that will be expected of you to help out.
Oh, yeah. And I'm just getting used to, like, everybody, too. Like, I'm not really familiar with a lot of the ladies.
Did you know anybody? Like, really know them?
Yeah. So I knew Britt, of course, Athena, anyone that's in WWE. Okay. Like, I haven't seen Ruby yet, but I saw Athena. And, there's a couple of girls. Oh, and Rebel and Serena. But the newer girls, I don't know. There was one that kind of has like this Bull Nakano vibe, and I thought she was cool as heck. I was like, you look super cool. I was just like, are you inspired by Bull Nakano? You know, because Bull Nakano is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time.
But she's not Japanese, though.
No, she's not.
I wonder who you're thinking of.
She has, not Nyla, but she literally has like the makeup and she like.
Oh, Abaddon?
Is that?
Like the zombie type?
Yeah.
You should see her work. She works like a zombie. Very like weird.
Oh, really?
Movements and stuff. Yeah, you'll appreciate it.
Yeah, I need to pay attention to her work because I saw her again when I did a signing this weekend too. Mm-hmm. And I just said to her again, I was like, I think you have such a cool look.
Yeah.
Even when I was coming back, I was like, man, what am I going to do different? So the fact that she's able to stand out and like, you know, in a, like, is the division too is so much bigger than it was as well. And she's just killing it. So, I'm proud of her.
You know, it's interesting when you had you're talking about outfits coming out. The thing that it's just a weird thing, but I really liked the pants that you were wearing in New York.
Oh,
because they're kind of baggier.
Yeah.
And maybe that's kind of the style, but I would always expect it to be super tight. But it was like, that's kind of cool. Like, that's a cool, fresh, young outlook. You know what I mean? It's just I noticed that. I don't know why.
Thank you. Yeah, I bought them again this week because I was like, I mean, I will eventually get some like wrestling gear nicely made and stuff like that. But I'm like, oh, I'm going to switch up like the style of what I look like. So like the leather, like sweats kind of thing with like the Doc Martens leather jacket. I think it's super cool. And then like a bralette underneath, I think it still looks like edgy and cool. So
talking fashion with Jericho.
I know.
That's right. Let's talk about, and it's been such a long time since we even really have had a good conversation, but let's talk about the movie you mentioned, it, yeah. Fighting With My Family, which I remember talking to Stephen Merchant at one of the WrestleManias, gosh, it's probably 10 years ago now, mm-hmm. and somebody had brought him to me to discuss, you know, wrestling terms and to help me understand what wrestling is, and that's kind of was the genesis of wanting to do this movie. Tell us about kind of how that all came together and what was it like watching yourself on screen?
Dude, it was bizarre to first of all have a movie about my life when there's people like you and just like all these massive legends. I'm just like, I feel a little inadequate, but it all happened because Dwayne was in the UK and he was watching my family's documentary called Fighting With My Family.
That was on the BBC or something. Yeah, I saw that.
So he watched that and I said, thank God for insomnia because he couldn't sleep that night because he was filming Fast and Furious, saw it. And then he came to WrestleMania and then he ended up asking to see me. So I went there and it was the most intimidating experience ever because, you know, it's first time meeting The Rock and you're just like, oh man, he's so cool. And he was like, hey, by the way, I saw your documentary and I really want to do a movie on it. That's the first thing he said to me. And I was just like, this is crazy. Like, what? And I didn't think it was like real. And then after that, he was like, oh, and I was in the writer's room and they're going to make you Divas Champ tomorrow. And I hadn't debuted yet. So I was just like, what?
This is before you even debuted in WWE. Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah. So I was in FCW or it just turned into NXT. And so we were just all there. You know how they brought everyone up for every time there's like a bigger pay-per-view? Like they would bring all the new kids up and shit. So yeah, I was up there and just like trying to stay out of everyone's way. And then like, you have Dwayne telling me this stuff. And then I was just crying my eyes out. I was like, I couldn't believe it. And then he was like, and no one's supposed to know about this, like none of it. So just pretend you don't know anything. And I'm just like, I look like shit now, dude. I'm crying my eyes out, eyelashes. And I got to walk out and Tamina's walking in and she's like wondering why I was in there, first of all. So she's looking at me being like, what are you doing in there, sis? And I'm just like, I'm just a big fan of Dwayne. I don't know what to say to her. I was like, mess. I was like, Dad, she probably thinks like the worst of me. And it just came up like, I mean how it used to be. People just think it. But she was an angel. She was just like, oh, that's why. And I'm like, But so it went into like production, but it took years to really like, you know, be made. And it was going to be stopped at one point because of me doing drugs and just being an absolute chaotic psychopath.
Bad press.
Yeah, not good press at all. And I was just like completely crazy, you know. So at one point they were scared that I was going to die, first of all. But also they were just like, this movie is just bad timing because she's just not getting any better. So at one point, I think it was Carano that reached out to me and he was just like, you need to get it together. He was like, there's going to be a lot of things that are just going to like, you know, be thrown away, you know. And so like there was a lot of wake up calls, but eventually, obviously, I did leave Texas and come back to Florida and get back in the ring again. And then the movie was finally made. And then Steven brought it to me while I was training to get back on the road again after my first neck surgery. And he showed it to me and I was just by myself in this room. And he was like, I can't watch you watch it. So I'm just going to sit out here. And I can't remember watching it, honestly, because it was all like a big blur and I was just crying the whole time. So I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. So that was surreal. And then a couple of weeks later, Joy Lynn, who used to work in WWE, she brought it over to my house when I moved to California. And Ronnie was watching it with me too, actually. Yeah. And I just wanted to watch it again because I wanted to really watch it, you know. And I started crying again. I was like, I can't believe this. They got my house down to a T. They just like Florence, who's now this huge freaking She's just like the biggest freaking movie star in the world right now. Like she is so loved. And I'm just like, I'm so proud of you. And you got to play me now. Yeah, that's crazy. So like she brought more eyes to the movie recently because she's like the it girl right now.
Right.
So more people are watching the movie. More people are reaching out to me. And there was this girl that was who I saw recently. She was on 90 Day Fiancé. I love that show. But she saw my movie and she started to become a wrestler. She started training at NWA.
Oh, wow.
And she looks fun. She's beautiful. She's like, she's from somewhere, but she speaks Spanish. She's a Latina, right? Mm. But she's like, I think she's maybe Brazilian, actually. I don't know. But she looks fantastic. I was like, oh my God, you're going to be such a huge star. I was like, stay the hell away from me, miss. Making me insecure. But yeah, she looks fantastic. And she was just like, I just watched your movie and I was inspired by it. She was just like, it's so cool to see like someone going from like a small, you know, town with not much money, but like just wanting to be in the WWE, you know, and just make it. And she was like, I just love that. She was like, I fell in love with wrestling instantly. And she was like, I just had to be a wrestler. She was like, I hope that I get to see you in AEW one day. But she looks fantastic. I'm not kidding. I was just like, she has like the perfect butt, perfect. She's arrogant. I was just like, you need to stay away from me because you're making me feel insecure. But she was just
maybe Google get the assistant to Google
it
here.
You know what? Yeah.
But I want to ask you about the movie though. Like, once they kind of get the rights, are you a consultant on the movie, or is it just kind of out of your hands at this point?
Yeah, that's her. Yeah, Paola Mayfield.
Paola Mayfield. Here she is.
She's got like blondie brown hair.
There
now.
You go. All right. So we'll keep an eye on Paola Mayfield.
Yeah, I'm going to give her a shout out because she was really sweet. So Stephen, like he was with you.
Did he direct it?
He directed and wrote it.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So he was fantastic and he really wanted to get wrestling like perfectly, like just behind the scenes and stuff. So he would talk to people like you and just all like the bigger stars. And he would like, and he went down to the PC and he even was getting in the ring and just like, I love that. I was like, you're really invested in doing this movie. And so like, I was still like, you know, with my surgery and just in a bad place and stuff like that. Still, he was calling me every single day and I didn't get to be on set because I was in such a terrible place too, you know. But yeah, he asked me my story every day and he was very like detailed and everything. He was like, well, how did you feel? Like, what was your reaction, you know, of all these different things? And he just got it down to a T, you know, he was just so good. And then there were some parts, obviously, they have to like hype up for Hollywood. Because I think, you know, Dwayne had to be put in there for people to like really want to watch it. And so like that part where he's just like calling me Harry Potter or whatever it was like backstage, that obviously didn't happen. But the later part did where he told me like, you know, I was going to be Divas Champ. But yeah, so there was things that were like hyped up for Hollywood.
And you went from two brothers to one brother in the movie, right? Or was there still two brothers?
There were still two brothers, gotcha. But I actually have three brothers and a sister.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but my sister played the midwife in there. But my sister and my brother Roy kind of shy away from anything like that. And then my brother Asa, he is in a mental health facility that he's been in for a really long time. And plus, he doesn't want to be
too
on
many characters. Too.
Exactly. It's just a lot. Yeah. So we just kept it like very minimal. But I feel like they killed it. And then I didn't have any part of the what's it called? Picking out all the actors, casting. Yeah. So with them, I didn't have that. But when I found out, I was like, my dad didn't know who Nick Frost was. You know, he like
Nick Frost.
Yeah. I love Nick Frost. And so like, you know, I told dad who it was. I was like, Dad, Shaun of the Dead, like Hot Fuzz, like he's awesome. And my dad's just like, nah, don't buy it. We'll see. I kind of want, I can't remember who he said, but I was like, Dad, I promise you want someone who's relevant.
Right.
You know? And so when he watched him, like they fell in love, you know, and then dad and him saw each other. My dad gave him a big hug and stuff like that.
That's just so great. So yeah. They enjoyed the movie too, your parents?
They loved it. Oh yeah. It's like their whole personality, you know?
That's so great. How was it growing up in that household? Like you mentioned, everybody's wrestling. I mean, you come from a wrestling family the same way that, you know, Bret Hart did or Owen Hart did, except for their mom didn't wrestle. Your mom wrestled as well.
Yeah. My mom wrestled with me. She didn't realize. Yeah. So I was wrestling. I always tell people I've been wrestling since I was a fetus, right?
Oh,
yeah. Because, well, Robbie Brooks, like, you know, Robbie, right? He's in, for everyone that doesn't know, he's an old school wrestler from the UK, but he works as a trainer in NXT
for
now.
Many years, yeah.
And so he was in a wrestling match with my dad and my mom was the manageress, the valet. So he grabs my mom and gorilla presses her from the inside to the outside. So it wasn't just a small bump. It was a big bump. Anyway, she went to the doctor the next day. She's like, I'm not feeling too well. And then they were just like, you're 7 months pregnant.
7 months?
7 months. But me and Zach were so close together. She didn't think she was pregnant. Oh. And she didn't put on any weight. She was like, I was still getting my periods. My weight wasn't big. Like, she was like, I was a little bit chubby. Wow. But she was like, whatever. And it's crazy just how women's bodies work in general. But I was just like 7 months pregnant with me and she didn't know. But then she was like, but it's all mine too. Because the next day she was like, I felt like I just ballooned up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah. So I was just like, well, that's why I am the way that I am. Well, I've got scoliosis. Addict, yeah, but I was like, this is your fault. No, but yeah, so I've just been in this wrestling family.
Did they run a promotion when you were growing up?
They still do, yeah.
They do.
WAW. So right. I've always been around wrestling, my dad's wrestling matches and stuff like that. And I used to think it was so real when I was younger. I know we don't like to use the word fake, but when I was younger, I was so like, I felt like it was so real. Because it was my dad. Every time my dad would get beat up, I'd start crying my eyes out and try to rush the ring. And my dad would be like, will you stop? Go sit down, you know? Because I'm just like screaming and trying to scratch his opponent and stuff like that. And then obviously, like, you know, I clocked on, like, you know, wrestling is storytelling, of course, and it's, you know, people, we get that it's predetermined at points, but I'm like, you feel absolutely everything. I feel like people don't realize that.
Well, and then that's the thing. It's insulting when people say that, especially when you grew up being a true wrestler. There's nothing fake about it.
No, my mom was blinded for 6 months.
Oh my
because
gosh.
She got dropkicked from this wrestler called Julie Starr. This was in the 90s, but I remember it because my dad nearly killed me with a potato, dude. He had to take over with the cooking and shit like that, and he did not cut up. I nearly choked to death. I had to get the Heimlich maneuver as a whole thing. I was like, my dad is useless in the kitchen. But,
and your mom's wrestling name is Soraya.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. So she got drop kicked in the eye, which it got infected, and then it just wouldn't open back up.
Oh,
and then
gosh.
It spread to her other eye. So she was blinded for a really long time during wrestling. And she's very injury prone anyway. But I was like, of course, she's the only wrestler that gets blinded but manages to get a sight back. But I'm pretty sure she milked that just so she doesn't have to do anything.
Do you remember, like when you were growing up, like was there any wrestlers that intimidated you if they're bringing in all these different guys? Like, did you see, like, because there's so many, you know, gypsies, tramps, and thieves in the wrestling business. Do you remember some of the names that came through?
I remember them bringing old school American wrestlers over. And I used to be so scared of Yokozuna. I got to meet Yokozuna. He was the most intimidating because he was just so big to me, but he was also very sweet after a while. I'm trying to think of who else. Because there were so many wrestlers coming in and out. Let me see. Oh, there was a wrestler that used to pretend to be the Undertaker too, which he was kind of like scary, but it was like a rotten version.
And that was a British thing. They'd bring in like kind of like facsimile, like the English cane or the English Undertaker or the English British Bulldog.
My dad was the British Animal.
Right, there you go.
Right. He made like, you know, the football, you know, then they put like, my mom made spikes and he looked just like him for real. I was just like, oh my gosh, this is great. Yeah, so they would do like American style wrestling because that's what people wanted to see, because world of sport kind of was like dying out in the UK. So you had to kind of bring American style in, which was like frustrating for British people because they had to pretend to be like an American star rather than themselves.
Yeah.
But there's like a lot of scary looking characters from back in the day. Also creeps too.
Oh, I'm sure, right? Yeah. What was your kind of first, I'm assuming you started wrestling in your parents' company. What was your first kind of trip or overseas, or did you travel around a lot? Because I know English wrestlers always go around Europe and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, so I was like adamant that I was going to be in the WWE. So I was like, I have to build up my portfolio though. That's what I have to do. So I remember sending out like all these portfolios, and I didn't really build it at that point. I was just wrestling for WAW or Brian Dixon or anything, you know, like Fremantle, just all these UK based.
Brian Dixon.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I just want to start spreading my wings a little bit, getting out there, because eventually I want to start working in America, whether it be for a big company or not. And so luckily, like this Norwegian promoter would come over and wrestle for my dad. And I asked him, I was like, if there's any chance, I would love to come over to your company and start wrestling there, right? And so he gave me a chance over there. So I went to Norway, and there was only one wrestling company, NWF, and I loved it. It was so much fun. And I lived there for like on and off like a year. So
how old were you then?
14.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. Think about that.
Yeah. It's crazy. But I was like, I wanted to like, my dad every weekend would be like, where are you going this weekend? You know, but I remember writing to one company, Irish Whip Wrestling, and they replied to me, we don't hire women. Uh-huh. Yeah. So I was just like, I was really disappointed. I was just like, you'll see, you know, and now I just want to be like to them like
right,
today.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
But, yeah. And then after that, I started going to like Belgium and Spain and Turkey, where I felt like I nearly got murdered. I had to have like the wrestlers. We were all on like this big tour bus, and they stopped to go to this mall. And then there was a lot of men that didn't see girls like me before. You know what I mean? So then they started chasing after me. And one of the wrestlers, first of all, this Turkish company hired dancers. They hired actors. They hired everyone but wrestlers.
Mm.
So there was only a handful of us that were actually wrestlers. It was me and this girl. And then two other like just indie wrestlers, right? The rest were just, this is their first show, their first match. They hadn't been training.
It's like the
for
Diva
long.
Search in 2000.
Oh God, it was just, it was a huge event too. Like it was like in an arena and everything. Wow. And like the pyro people were new, and they set up a pyro in Shayna's face. It was like a whole thing. And I was just like, this is awful. The referee didn't know what he was doing. They were just, I was like, this is crazy. But yeah, like we went to a mall, and then they started like chasing me out of it, and I was running to the bus like, help me. And I was younger, I was like 15 at this point. And the wrestlers came out and scooped me onto their shoulder, you know, and kind of carried me onto the bus. So, yeah, it was definitely, that was probably the most crazy, intimidating experience, independent show-wise, that I got to
wrestle. Was it hard, or was it, I mean, you wanted to work in the WWE, you finally get brought in. Was it hard to move to the States away from your family, or were you ready at that point?
Oh, gosh, I was so homesick, because at the time, like, I was 18 or just turning 19 or something like that, and I was just moving to a whole different country, and it's a big country, too, and everything was so different. So I was very intimidated, and then once you get signed to WWE, back then, at least, they kind of just help you pay for your visa, you pay them back, and then once you get over, you're kind of on your own. So I'm like, where do I live? Where do I go? Like, how do I get my social security? How do I do, what the fuck is renter's insurance? You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
I had no idea how to, like, live my life. And so luckily, Lexi, she's like one of the promoters for Shimmer and Shine and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I would come over there Lexi before.
Fife.
Yes. She took me in for like 2 weeks and she got me everything that I needed and just helped me and just got me my first apartment, took me to go get furniture and stuff like that, which I didn't have any money either because you don't get paid until you get a social security number. So I asked my friend Steve from the UK, and he inherited a bunch of money from his grandma who passed away. And he gave me £2,000, which is like $3,000 or $3,500. And I managed to get like a full apartment's worth, at least livable. You know what I mean? So like once I got that situated and then I started getting paid and then it was just like, okay, like thank gosh. But it was
intimidating.
That's
so young though, like to have all those responsibilities. And you mentioned the issues that you had. No wonder. I mean, like that's almost like being like a child actor or something like that.
Oh,
you know?
It's crazy. And then you get thrust into the spotlight and then you don't know how to act with it too. And then you feel like I got to a point where I feel like I didn't have my childhood because I was constantly just trying to make it in WWE. So I was wrestling all the time. I didn't go to school. I didn't do any of these things because I just wanted to be in WWE. And so like, I was like, I feel like I'm like not having a good time. Like I want to have friends and stuff. And it took me a while to make friends because I was so like antisocial. I was like, eh. But then once I did, it was like a big mistake because I was out partying. Every chance I got, I was out drinking. And so I was just raging every chance I had. And then after shows, I would be like, you know, you start getting sore and stuff like that and you're tired and you're just like, but I can't sleep even though I'm tired. So I'm just going to have a couple of beers, you know.
Right.
And then you start getting like
you're
more
grizzled old vet at 21 years old.
I know.
Old
I'm just like, God, I'm so sore. Yeah. So, and people get shocked about my age because they feel like I've been in the business for a really long time because I have been around for a while. Yeah. I remember meeting you and I tell people this story the time where I said I met Jericho because I went to go see Fozzy when they came to Norwich and I got to speak to him afterwards. And I remember saying to him, like, oh, I'm like, I have my tryout for WWE. And you were so, like, supportive of it. And you were just like, you're going to be fine. You're going to make it. And you gave me pointers. And, you
had brown hair at the time.
I did. A little.
What's the name of that venue in Norwich?
The Waterfront.
The Waterfront, yeah.
Yeah. And it was just like, so it was like awesome. I was just like, oh, my God. Like,
I remember that. I still remember to this day.
Yeah. And I remember seeing you at WrestleMania. That was the next time I saw you and I had been signed by that point. And you came up to me and I didn't think you would ever remember me. And you were just like, congratulations, you made it. And I was like, oh, shit. And I was like so happy that you remembered me at the time because I was such, you know, a huge mark, still am, you know.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this is so cool. Like Chris Jericho remembered me. So then, but then after that, you've just always been so helpful. Mm. And like, I tell Ronnie all the time, like, it's so good to have real greats. I love this quote. Real greats make you feel like you too can become great because you got nothing left to prove,
right?
You already know you're fantastic. You have like a whole freaking list of things that you have accomplished and are good at and stuff, you know. And so you're always going to be on this trajectory where you're going up. And you have so much wisdom. And I'm just saying, like, real legends make you feel like you can become like them.
Right.
You know,
that's
and
great
so,
quote.
Yeah. And so, like, I've always kept that in mind with people like you and just a couple of other people that have just nonstop been like, you're going to be fine. You're going to be big. You can do this. You know, like, just always had that positive spin on things. So I've always been grateful for that.
Let's talk about, as we start to wind down, let's talk about that first night when you came in the WWE and you won the title.
Yeah.
I mean, once again, talk about a huge responsibility, huge pressure. Who was it against? AJ?
AJ Lee, and then Tamina was outside.
So tell us about that night and how it was for you.
Yeah, so the next day, obviously, I couldn't tell people that I knew, and then they didn't tell me until last minute. So I had Fit Finley come up to me like 5 minutes before doors or something crazy like that, and he's just like, all right, you're going to win the championship. You have like a little promo beforehand. I'm like, I have a promo too. I'm like, oh my God. And they were like, Vince wants you to be more like, more timid. So it was a completely different character to what I was playing in NXT, which is kind of like rough, like hell in boots kind of thing, you know? And so I was like a little bit intimidated by that, but AJ was such an angel too. Her and Tamina, like, they took me aside and they were just like, this is going to be perfectly fine. Like, you're going to be okay. This is such a big moment. And like, they were just so supportive. And I felt like I was kind of, because back then, again, over, you know, however long ago, it was, again, different nowadays, but I just felt like I was walking into like a freaking wolf's den as well. I'm like, oh my God. So I had a few girls that were absolutely happy for me.
Mm-hmm.
But, sorry, I would get distracted.
It was a pretty crazy locker room there, wasn't it?
Yeah. And it was insane. And then when I got back, everyone was happy for me. You know, everyone was hugging me and I was just, my phone was getting blown up and my family were crying. And I'm just like, this is the most crazy, because I was like, I made it. Mm-hmm. Not fully, but I made it to the main roster, and then I got to be the champion, and it's like the championship I've always wanted. Mm-hmm. You know, I had like right out of the gate. So I was like very fortunate that they trusted me right out of the gate. Because in NXT, like, I was the number one seller for merch. I was like the champ then there too, and it was awesome because I was getting like really great reactions, like on par with the guys, you know. Mm-hmm. And so like Hunter like was the one who was just like, we should bring her up. I feel like Vince at the time was like,
too young, maybe. I know he was always reticent against using, you know, such young.
Yeah.
You know,
but he was like, I'll take her if she wears purple. Okay. Right. So I had to change my color to purple and then slowly went to all black again. But I was like, all right.
Where did the name Paige come from?
So I love the show Charmed growing up. Mm-hmm. And there's a character, Rose McGowan. You know, she's pale with a butt chin like me. Yeah. And she has like that kind of like.
Pale with a butt chin.
Yeah. I was like, my butt chin sister. And her name was Paige in the show. And so I was like, oh, I'll just use that. And then they had names for me too, which I was like, hell no.
Do you remember any of those?
Yeah. So they wanted to call me Echo because they thought it was goth. And I was like, that's Dolphin name, dude. I'm going to be freaking ridiculed if I walk out to Echo.
Because it's goth.
Yeah. I was like, they were trying to find me edgy names and they were like, Mara. And I was like, why Mara? And they were like, well, the girl with the dragon tattoo, Mara Rooney. And I was just like, no, I don't feel Mara either. And I made this suggestion about Paige. And I was just like, it's simple, but I feel comfortable with it. And they were just like, all right, we'll go with that. I was like, thank God.
Imagine Echo.
Echo now? How embarrassing, dude. Oh, I'd be so embarrassed.
Who were some of your favorite people to work with in the WWE?
I love working with AJ. Natty, I feel like, is one of the best wrestlers I have ever seen, male or female. I feel like all you Canadians are good wrestlers there, mm-hmm. if I'm being honest. But she is just on another level. I wish she had more of an opportunity to be like, you know, utilize in a bigger way. Like, I was really enjoying her and Ronda for a little bit, and I felt like she could do so much more with it. And she's always willing to help people, always. She always wants to put people over. She, like, has no ego about it. So I love her. I love working with Nikki Bella, and people are always just like, why? Because she was a model before. But I was like, you don't realize how much knowledge she has for WWE psychology. Mm. I was like, it's very different to, like, knowing a bunch of moves to actually, like, telling a story and slowing down.
Right.
And like, so she would teach me stuff like letting things breathe, like going for a pin and rolling away from each other. I'm just like, oh, it makes such a big difference if we do that, right? And to me, like, I wouldn't think about that. I think about moves and all this kind of stuff. So she helped me kind of like slow down like that. So I really enjoyed my time working with her. Emma, I just felt like we had like that really special moment in NXT, and I wish she got used better on the main roster because she deserved it.
She was miscast, and Vince wanted to make her like a glamour girl, and that's not really her thing, right?
Yeah. I think she wishes she wasn't doing like a jokey thing when she first came up too.
Oh, right. Was dancing or something?
Yeah. And I feel like she was excited to do something a little bit different, and then they pulled the plug on it. And I think they end up doing something similar with Eva Marie after that. But I was really bummed for her because she's a really good wrestler. Mm-hmm. Really, really good. And she just wasn't utilized like to her full potential. And I really enjoyed working Foxy. Mm. I was like, that bitch is crazy in the ring. Like, she's strong as heck. Like, she'll freaking throw you around and stuff like that. I remember going to bars with her. Me and her used to be a nightmare. We'd have a TMZ together all the time because we were just a nightmare. But I remember we were at this bar one time and this guy was coming up to me and he would not stop talking to me. And I just wasn't interested. I was like, I just want to go for a drink, dude. I'm not interested. And all of a sudden I see this hand come to the back of his collar like this and throw him with one hand. I'm not kidding. Like, flew. I was like, huh? And I turned around. I was like, this is like a superhero or something like that, you know? But she was just so protective, but so strong. I've never seen anyone as strong as her. And she's like so like agile and small, right? She's tall, but she's like a supermodel height, right. You know? But she was strong. I was like, oh my God, I want to get on the wrong side of you, sis. No way.
So when we're talking about coming to AEW, and it's interesting because I know that we were like, who's still out there that can really make, you know, a bang?
Yeah.
And there's not a lot because guys are signed, girls are signed. And I was like, fuck, Saraya, man. We got to talk to her. So we were trying for a while to connect Tony and you and everything like this. Were you ever getting close to maybe going back to WWE?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I was. Yeah. I was like thinking about it. I was just like, okay, because again, I don't have issues with WWE. Mm-hmm. I just wish that some things were done differently.
Right.
And that's the only thing I have against them is just there's so many years where I could have been utilized more. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that really just, I mean, my friends were around me, like, I was just so depressed about it, you know, and Ronnie was always trying to, he would put me his music videos and stuff like that to try and like give me something, you know, yeah. It was really sweet. And, but, yeah, like I was thinking about going back there, and then I spoke to you, I spoke to Mark, so I was speaking to Britt, and then got on the phone with Tony, and he was so excited, and I was just like, you know what? Like, yeah, I think I'm going to give this a shot, you know, like this seems.
What's
like,
so funny, because I know that you know, Tony has so much going on. And I was like, you got to call. He's like, yeah, I'm going to call her. Yeah. And then Mox goes, we got to get Saraya. I said, well, I've been working. He goes, I think she's going back to WWE. I overheard a conversation or whatever.
Yeah, and me
I
was and like, Renee.
That's
yeah.
when I called Tony. I said, dude, if you are thinking of, yeah, I'm thinking, dude, you got to call her like yeah. now. Yeah. And that's when I called you. I remember I was going to the airport just to make sure, like, hey.
Yeah, I was like, he called me just now, actually.
Yeah, I was like, thank goodness, because I was like, we're going to lose her, you know?
Yeah, you guys probably would, if you wouldn't have pushed it, because I understand Tony's busy. Like, he has two different football teams, like British and American, but then also this big company that he has yeah. to run. So I understand he's busy. Trust me, I get it. But it was just like a few months had gone by, and I was yeah. just like, all right, well, I feel like he's not really interested. Yeah. That's okay. Like, that's totally fine. And so, like, you know, I was getting the calls for WWE, and I was just like, oh, man, should I? Like, am I going to be 100% happy going back, you know? And then, again, you guys called me, and I was just like, oh, you make it sound so exciting. Like, yeah, blame them, the internet. It's their fault.
We gave you the hard sell, for sure.
For real.
And I didn't know how close you were with Renee and Mox, either. Yeah, I had no yeah. idea. And yeah. that's why when he brought it up, I was like, oh, that's interesting, because he goes, yeah, we're friends. So
yeah, yeah. I was actually, like, best friends with Renee. I gotcha. Freaking love her. She's, like, yeah. an absolutely fantastic human. And I just feel like she's one of those people who's always going to be honest with you. Like, she doesn't have a bad bone in her body. So I would always just go to her and be like, what do you think I should do? Like, you know. And she was like, selfishly, I'd want you to go to AEW, you know. Yeah. And she was like, let me get you on the phone with John. And I was just like, oh, here we go.
The thing is, too, though, like, you can do all these other things at Twitch. And if you yeah. have appearances and signings, that's, like that's the good thing as well.
Yeah, I know that they're starting to give more people opportunities in WWE, and that's great. But Tony, the first thing he said was, we don't take anything from you. You can do anything you want. I won't ask for a percentage in anything. You get to keep 100% of it. He was like, as long as you turn up for work, I'm happy. And then he was like, and even if you didn't want to go to work, that week, you just have to let me know. And he's just so yeah, relaxed.
So funny.
I'm just like, what? Like, I don't have to bring yeah. this up. But yeah, like, it's just a whole different dynamic. And it's something you have to get used to, because it's like, I always say it's like a, when you're like a animal that's got rescued, like you're used to like a strict parent or something like yeah. that, and then you get given to like a millennial couple or whatever, it's just like, I'm gonna give you all these bells and whistles, you can do whatever you want,
sleep
you're
on
just
the
like
bed.
Yeah, 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 run around here, yeah, you're like, you're an off-leash dog now. And I'm like, this is crazy to think about. Yeah, it was just, it's definitely different. I'm still getting used to it, but I'm really enjoying my time here for sure.
Who are you looking forward to working with here in AEW?
Britt, 100%. I know, like, you know, she gets used a lot, but she's really good, you know. Yeah. And I really want to get in the ring with Nyla. And I love Sunny. I know she's working in the male division right now, but I would love to work her eventually. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like Jade looks really impressive. And I'm not really familiar with her wrestling style as much yet, because she's so new. But I'm looking forward to seeing where she goes. Mm-hmm. And then Jamie Hayter, I think she's fantastic. I really do. And the people love her. Mm-hmm. I was like, they really want her to be babyface. Yeah. But I'm like, you should keep this going for a long time. Right. You know what I mean? But so, yeah, there's so many different women like I look forward to working with.
Did you ever know Jamie from England at all?
I didn't know her personally. No. I heard about her, though. I was getting her name and Jade's name mixed up.
Yeah. We were talking about them. We were texting. Yeah.
But yeah, she's. I just heard so many good things about her anyway. And then you guys obviously like were putting her over too. And yeah, so she's going to be fine for sure.
Are you still very close to your family? Do you talk to them quite often?
All the time.
Did you ask any advice about coming to AEW, or did you just basically tell them what was going on?
I just told them what was going on. I didn't want to say too much. Because, you know, I always get scared that something's going to leak anyway. Yeah. I know my family would never do that, but I'm always just like, yeah. I tell Zach a lot. I tell Zach everything. And I'm always wanting Zach to have an opportunity. I feel like WWE dropped the ball with him. Mm. After the movie, people went crazy for him, and they still do. He just got his opportunity with New Japan recently, and he was just over the
moon. He had a great match with Ospreay, right? Yeah. I heard about that. Oh, wrestles Ricky Knight Jr.?
No, it's my nephew. Gotcha. He's fantastic. But Zach, my brother.
Gotcha.
But he just did New Japan this past weekend, and he just absolutely smashed it. And I'm just like, why is he not being brought up, like scooped up by any other company? And I'm not doing it to be like, Tony, if you're listening, I'm just like, I will always tell people, like, bias aside, like, I'm like, he's been in the business a long time too. He's only a year older than me. And I'm just like, even if he just did.
He's only a year older than you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So he's just. He just has so much talent, and he can just do so much. And I'm like, we'll get you one day, bro. Whether you're in WWE or AEW, someone's going to pick you up, you know.
Well, it helps for you to be here, too. Maybe you actually take a look at it and
I
see.
I know. Right? Yeah, Terry, just take a look at my brother for a little bit. Come on. Yeah.
Last question for you. What's your favorite match that you ever had?
Anywhere where I won a championship. No, I loved it. There was one match that I really enjoyed. First of all, it was there's a couple of NXT ones. Me and Natty in NXT, first time I ever wrestled her. Loved it. Me and Emma, the first one, NXT Women's Championship. And then there was a match with me and Nikki Bella because we were like, we should go out there and do a good match just in case our WrestleMania match gets canceled. Because you know how back then as well, girls would get
something cut. Goes over time, they would cut a match. And
exactly.
The girls would always
be the girls, yeah. So we were like, let's go out there and have a crazy match, you know what I mean? And we did. We really had a really great time. And so... that was one of my favorite matches, probably.
Are you happy with how women's wrestling has progressed? It just brought up a great point. Like you said, that was always the match that would get cut. Now, women's matches are main eventing. There's multiple women's matches on every show. And women are the same as men in a lot of ways. Where before, it was like, I remember the one time in FCW, you're like, yeah, I did a bikini contest. It's like, I never did one of those before. Like those,
I hated that so much. Oh, it was miserable.
Those days are gone, right?
Yeah. Completely gone. And I love that. Like, there'd be like... two, maybe three different women's segments on the show, main event of WrestleMania. Like, they're doing crazy things, and they're putting butts in seats now. Whereas before, like, I like, even the women tried so hard, but they weren't being used as seat fillers, you know what I mean? And that's such a shame, because I knew they wanted more. So now the women are just like kicking more doors down, and they're just like they're not taking no for an answer kind of thing. And I feel really proud of them. It's like bittersweet, because I want to be like in the middle of that mix and stuff like that for the past couple of years. But now I had to wait for my time again. You know,
the thing is, and Britt is one of our biggest draws. Yeah. And so now she has a counterpart, which is great, because you need a big star to help another person become a big star. And it just works great for both of you guys.
Yeah. And I want to help out everybody too. Just like, I don't know if I'm able to elevate everybody, but I'd be willing to like want to work with someone to elevate them. Like I don't mind doing that kind of stuff. I'm like, as long as people still think I'm cool, I'll be able to elevate you. You know what I mean?
Well, it's great to have you in AEW. We worked hard to get you, and it's just it's going to change the game for the women's division and have another huge star with us. So it's awesome.
Yeah, thanks, dude. I appreciate you. All right, man.